Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Very dramatic. Joined in the studio as always by Declan Buckley for So You Think You're an Adult. And today, delighted to say, we're also joined by Susan Daly. Susan, good to see you.
Hi, Tom. Good to see you.
Haven't
good to
seen
see you,
you,
Declan.
Good to see you all, everybody.
Good. I haven't seen you in the studio in a long time, Susan.
I have been in studios, but just not the same.
Yeah,
one as
I
you,
remember
Tom.
You giving me advice on IKEA when it arrived here in Ireland first.
Did I?
You did. Yeah,
did
you.
I tell you to walk in a clockwise direction?
You did.
Did you pay attention?
I did.
Excellent. And
buy the bag. Also buy the bag because they can be reused and they're very, very useful.
Also, I went one further and I bought the actual little trolley thing and then my mum took it.
Oh,
thanks,
wow.
Ma'am. She's listening in there, yeah.
You bought something, though, and you were telling me that it wasn't lasting well for you. Some piece of furniture that wasn't quite...
It wasn't of lasting
You
well
have to revisit the screw. You have to go back and revisit your screw job after a while.
It may
they
have been
loosen
the,
over time.
Yes, it may have been the tradesperson, not the tools.
Okay,
you know?
Fair yeah. enough. Okay. Well, enough of our problems, because there are listeners here beating on the door with problems for us to solve, because such is the reputation of this show for solving
there
problems.
They are banging on the door.
Yes. So let's take a look at this one first. My girlfriend's brother moved in with us after moving from his hometown to Cork City to find a job. It was supposed to be for a couple of days. Well, he got himself sorted. A week at the maximum is what I was promised, but it's been nearly 2 months now. 2 months. I'm at my wit's end. We live in a one-bedroom department and he's been sleeping on the couch. He doesn't seem to be doing much on the job hunt front, unless sending off a couple of CVs while sitting in his jocks counts. He's taken over the whole living room. His clothes are everywhere, even though I've told him to use the hot press that we have out in the hallway. And he never tidies away his bed linen, so the living room always looks like a mess. I'm pretty sure he snuck a girl in the other night because I could hear their activity and the door closing to let her out a couple of hours later. I have talked to him about getting his own place, but he says he can't do that until he gets a job. My girlfriend wants me to give him a break, and I really do love her, and I want to help out her brother, but this is ridiculous. I want to see him sorted, but I also want my home back and my regular life back. Please help me. He's going to help us.
Yeah. Well, I actually think that this is so specific. You should play him back this piece. If you are a young man who's moved from small town Ireland to Cork City and are living with your sister and her boyfriend in a one-bedroom apartment for the past 2 months
this
and you hang around
you.
In your jocks, sir, this is for
this
you.
This is for you.
Get out, get off the couch, get a job because you have overstayed your welcome. What do you think,
Declan? Very clear.
Yeah, they should have given a name just so we could be a bit very, very bespoke with their advice today. Yeah, I think obviously the situation is unsustainable. The guy recognises that he wants his girlfriend's brother to be in a better place because, not because his own bilateral relationship with the boyfriend's, the girlfriend's brother, but it's about his relationship with the girlfriend. But it's damaging his relationship with the girlfriend because obviously it's giving him a pain in his pip and he doesn't want to have to crawl over somebody else's duvet on his way out of his own house. It's a one-bedroom apartment in Cork City, which is already going to be clearly grim. So to have it made even more...
Cork City's amazing. Wait, stop. Declan.
Roll back there for a moment.
I know, I'm sorry. That was racist. I'm sorry. I take it back.
Is it just Cork City you're having a go at there?
Yeah, I love County Cork. It's very beautiful. But Cork City was built on slavers' money.
OMG.
I read that on the journal.
Oh my God. I'm sure there was a historic piece that was just, I don't know, specific to a tiny few houses up by Montenegro.
Fair enough.
Well,
right.
Still in all, it's been quoted against your own words. So come on now.
That's how you win.
And repeat it on this show, Tom.
You can't deny it appeared in the journal.
Yeah,
so
there you go. I think the guy needs to go. I mean, that's what Susan said straight out. And it's clearly that's the answer. I think what needs to be done is to package that eviction up in a less grim, harsh kind of way and say, look, this is about you kind of just stepping up to the plate and becoming an adult, and it's about us reclaiming our adult existence.
There's probably a few steps on the way, I'd say, because you obviously can't package it as it's a him or me situation, because he said he quite likes the brother, the brother-in-law or whatever you would call him, and he loves the girlfriend or whatever, and he doesn't want to be the bad guy in all this. There are a few things I think that he could do to kind of move him on his way. First of all, if it's 2 months, I think he's definitely stepped from being a guest to someone who's living there. So why not treat him exactly as you would somebody who's living there? So you start texting him when you know he's just gone out of the house and say, on your way back, can you bring three steaks for the dinner, some jumbo toilet rolls, and, you know, basically treat him like, I presume he's not entirely paying his way if he's happy to take up that much residence for 2 months. Ask him for assistance with the chores. Again, he's not a guest. And then start actually going, look, I need to request some time alone with the government. Any chance you could give us tomorrow night? We want to sit in, Netflix and chill or whatever. And I'll tell you what, a few hours of rambling around Cork City, much as I love it, after 8 p.m. on his Todd is going to get this guy going. This isn't as comfortable as it was. Make it uncomfortable for him.
Now,
or more.
I know that it's hard, but it's the climate out there is difficult. There are lots of reasons why somebody mightn't be able to find their own place right now because it's so expensive, and especially if you're trying to find a place to live on your own. But this is about the guy getting up on his feet in some way, and it seems like if he hasn't got a work, if he's not self-aware, or if he's not empathetic about the situation enough to be able to be already doing that kind of stuff, like making it look like he's pulling his
weight. Yeah.
Weight.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, for a moment, I thought you were going down a different direction.
In the sitting room, in the communal sitting room. What time is this? Is this pre 3 p.m.? Is this a water show?
I thought you were at work.
You should have heard last week.
Yes, that's it. Maybe change up your routine. Arrive back in at times you're not meant to. Just make it less foreseeable for him. And he goes, I do feel like I'm living in a thoroughfare. This isn't great for me. Because he is disrespecting this situation. Yeah. I think that's it. It's not a lack of empathy with the very bad rental state and so on.
I think I can end this right now if you want.
End it.
If you're listening to this show at the moment, lying on the couch of your girlfriend's brother's place in your jocks, this is about you and you need to move out. That'd be clear enough.
That's it. Yeah.
He's gone now. Gone. That's him. Gone.
Move.
Yeah,
two months is
too long. And go out. Right. Just put his stuff outside the door and change the locks. He's taking advantage, says the texter. And why are people afraid to talk to one another? Just say it to him. Move out. It's been 2 months. What's the issue here? Snowflakes. They're everywhere these days.
Oh, stop. The snowflakes, that word is so annoying.
What does it mean?
It means that if you have a different opinion from anyone who's over the age of 30, and I am over the age of 30, that you're somehow, it can't be a valid opinion. You're just moaning. It's just first world problems. But actually, the price of flats and everything, even in Cork, which Declan wouldn't bring himself to live in a million years, is some people do want to live there, and it is quite expensive. So can we stop with the snowflakes and keep a bit of empathy in it?
Help him look. Circle a few rentals in the paper. Take him out. Well, he can't rent until he gets a job. The job is the first thing, isn't it?
You can email him stuff off Daft. I don't think people circle the paper.
Try harder. Okay, on to the second one now. I'm getting very worried about my husband's painkiller use. He had a small accident at work and he hurt his leg at the start of the summer and he was out of action for a while. Wasn't too serious, thankfully, and the doctor gave him the all clear and he was back at work a month ago. It was around then I started noticing the amount of pain tablets he was taking. He would start the morning off 2 Salpidine, then another couple of hours later he would take 2 more. It would be the same around dinner time and he would take 2 more before bed. When I asked him about it, he snapped at me that he was in a lot of pain still. The doctor didn't have a clue about what was going on with his leg. Now he's back at work. I've noticed he's leaving the house in the morning with a full packet. And after going through his pockets, I found an empty box. I found empty box after empty box. I'm worried he's addicted. And while I don't want to see him in pain, I would like for him to come off them sooner rather than later because I'm worried about the lasting damage that they could do as well as the emotional and physical dependency as he seems to develop on them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can totally relate to this. I have a bit of a sore throat at the moment for the last 5 days and I bought a box of Strepsils and I horsed through them all. And then it was only after I'd done it, I read the box that says, don't take more than 12 of these in 24 hours. But I'd already had 24 in 24 hours. So I think I obviously have developed some kind of a dependency on Strepsils. And that's obviously a gateway drug to other kind of stuff.
We'll keep an eye on you.
You have to keep an eye on me.
Right, so far so good.
I suppose what I'm trying to express is that it's actually sometimes really hard to recognise whether or not you do have like a problem, whether or not your use of substances, painkillers, to treat what you personally see as a problem, whether that use is becoming a separate issue to the pain that you're already experiencing. So I suppose it's like, how do you know if somebody has an issue with painkillers? I mean, obviously this person here is recognising there are certain symptoms. I mean, the medications is a focus for both of them in that situation. The guy is clearly talking about his painkillers. She's obviously looking for his painkillers. So once the issue of the painkillers is central in your relationship, then there's already a problem there. If you're taking different amounts of the medication, like I was with the Strepsils then has been medically prescribed, you're obviously abusing them in some way. You're doing something mm-hmm. that's, you're handling the thing in a way that's not particularly correct. So the list of evidence here would suggest this guy does have some kind of a problem here. How it is handled is, I suppose, what's kind of really key here. She seems to be afraid to approach him because he kind of blows up when she does, which is another piece of evidence to suggest that the painkiller issue is a real issue. I think she has to kind of come to the situation with, I suppose, whatever the word compassion means, but to come at it like that, to kind of go, I understand that you have a lot going on and I understand that you think this is helping you, but, and then to try to engage in a conversation about it that way. Because it's quite easy to misuse tablets.
Are they dangerous, do you know?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, Sarbidine is, I mean, she's caffeine talking about a codeine dependency here, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a recognised thing that there are new rules that have been for a few years in pharmacies in Ireland where you can't walk in and get Sarbidine off the shelf anymore. You have to go to the pharmacist and you have to convince them that you have terrible period pain or whatever, when in fact you've got a terrible hangover and Sarbidine gives you a lift. And the thing is, it's got that kind of, thing about codeine, and I know the strength,
yeah, glamorous,
the blink blink fizz, exactly, yeah. So glamorous sounding, but, and you know, help is coming. that thing you're talking about, the Strepsils, I know you're not being flippant. Your point is quite good, actually, which is, this is not somebody shooting up, this is not somebody who's having to be someone down a dark alley to get their fix or whatever. So it feels like, and it was legitimately prescribed to begin with, and then Sarbidine is obviously something you get afterwards, or that can be prescribed too. And it's so there. Therefore, it kind of pulls a shroud over whether this is actually something you could be addicted to. But it's very, very real. I heard somebody describe to me how they were taking 5 drinks of Sarbidine in a day. So that was 10 Sarbidine tablets.
Yeah. That's really hard on your system too, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely. And of course, they had ulcers and whatnot. But they were definitely, they realised, and they were only saying it after they had reduced, because to address it at that time would have been, as this guy is showing, he's snapping or whatever, he knows there's an issue, and he's also afraid.
And it's kind
afraid
of like pulling the plaster off before you feel your wound is healed, and it's kind of like you don't want to pull that.
I think
that.
She needs to actually speak to a GP herself first.
Right.
I think it could get quite serious, and also the language, as Declan says, is really important around it. If you approach someone with, you know what you need to do, etc., he'll go, well, actually, I do know what I need for myself, and because he's rejecting his own doctor's advice, saying he doesn't know, so he's hardly going to take a non-medical person's advice. She probably needs to get a bit of professional help on this before it gets worse, because it's a real, real thing, very serious.
Amazed by how addictive it is. And texts are coming in saying he is addicted to the codeine in the Sarbidine. The danger is the amount of paracetamol in each tablet. This is hugely concerning. Please speak to your GP ASAP. And codeine, another text is saying codeine is highly addictive. Be very careful. Try and get him to change to paracetamol. At least it'll be far easier to wean off once the pain has gone away. The pain is a bit of an issue too, isn't it? Obviously, he's in more pain than he should be.
It's an addictive substance, though. So it's like the one behaviour has now created a separate behaviour. So the underlying pain. I'm not a doctor, although I pretend to be on the radio many times. I'm not a doctor, but I don't believe that painkillers like tablets like Sarbidine are meant to be used on prolonged kind of basis. They're for, like, you know, momentary or acute kind of pain issues, and not for chronic ongoing pain problems. So if you're finding that you're using any medication out of the chemist on an ongoing daily basis, that's a flashlight. That's an alarm. There's a problem there.
Well, all the texts are genuine concern about this. He needs an intervention. Talk to him. Stop it before it gets worse, is one texter. And get advice. Try Tabor Lodge or another treatment centre. So everyone's saying that's
but
once you're
in a situation with any form of kind of addiction, and an addiction is exponential, because you can have, like Susan said, you can have these, what we consider drug addiction. There are people down alleyways shooting up heroin. But you can be addicted to like having a glass of wine or a bottle of wine or whatever, or you can be, I mean, that's a bad example, but you can be addicted to like something that's less, I suppose, addictive, but you have the compulsion to use it all the time.
And because it's socially acceptable as well, you know, like I remember when those new rules came in, we had a box of Sarbidine at home, right? And myself and the other half would be kind of like, did you take one of those? Because they were whittling down, and neither of us can lie, we're terrible. So we couldn't go to a pharmacy and go, I have a terrible bad back, just to have the emergency box of Sarbidine for the occasional late night. And we were like at each other going, did you have the last Sarbidine? Because they were essentially whittling down,
Well, but also, funnily enough, I mean, there's people people who I know somebody who wanted to get their hands on sleeping tablets that you can only get in America. Mm. So they're getting their friends who work for airlines when they fly over to New York to buy this stuff, bring it back and give it to them, because even though they know that there's some kind of reason why it's not available for sale in Ireland, some of the reasons are stupid, but some of the reasons are medical. But they're, you know, they're kind of circumventing. It's kind of like the way that people used to go from one shop to the other to build up their supply of Salpidine. And I mean, all these reasons, the reason why these things blocks exist is because people are having, you know, addiction
issues.
Yeah, they're having issues.
Text after text saying the same thing. As a nurse, I would be seriously worried about the amount of Salpidine that guy's taking. See a GP as soon as possible, says Fiona. And this man needs a GP. GP is just in every text we're getting.
But he has to approach the GP, I think, with honesty, because if he's going to go in there going, I don't really have a problem.
Sounds like if you show him all the empty boxes, he should start to see the penny drop. People have ended up in drug detox units over Salpidine abuse. Thanks very much for your text on that. This next one, I'm incredibly irritated by a co-worker constantly biting his nails. Turns my stomach and I can't focus on anything else when he is beside me. I find the nails he bites can fly off and land on my desk. It is just gross. I can't get any work done. It seems like a silly thing to go to my boss about. Surely I can't tell a grown man stop eating his fingers, can I?
Well, by Jiminy Cricket, you can if they're invading your space. I was going to say when I first saw this that, because I'm somebody who has what one might call an oral fixation, I do enjoy a pen cap in my mouth from time to time. I can't stop it. At the desk, I need to have some nuts or whatever, because otherwise I'd be at my nails or cuticles. And it's a horrible thing, and it is a habit, and it's something that you have to break. Or, Tom Dunn, oral fixation is the actual term here.
I smiled a little bit at that, but then when you went on further to the pens and the nuts and everything else that was going on,
I just had to draw you in, Tom, and then I would.
There was this suddenly this world opened up in front of me that I never imagined existed.
Absolutely, and it is just a habit, and it is hard to break. And I would say, first of all, I was like, oh, she's one of these people who's just irritated by noises. That's an actual thing called misophonia, where you're oversensitive to noises that people make, like, you know, when people chew around you and so on, you can really hear it. Well, when their mouth is open, they're doing it. That's a great demonstration there. That is super annoying, and you need to tell them to close their mouth.
I'm very good at being annoying, so I can tap into a reservoir.
Look how far away you are from me there. But the fingernail biting, I was going to say ignore it if you can't do anything about it. But if they are pinging onto your desk, I think that's the point at which you say,
the image of the nail going through the air.
I think you left something on my desk, and holding in a tissue, giving it back, because that is beyond gross. And not in front of everybody, but I think you need to go, that's now the boundary crossed, and do it yourself. Don't go to the boss, you know?
Yeah, I think it definitely is that thing about it. It's handling it from that level gone. It's actually just reached a point where I'm repulsed and I'm going to just express my repulsion, because then it's...
If he was just biting his nails, I'd say, you know, get over it.
I can't get over
try
that.
Try to look a different way.
I don't know. You were saying sounds can be annoying, but do you not find sometimes an action can draw you in to a point where you can't take your eyes off it? You're thinking, this is
out the
most
the
disgusting thing
eye,
I've ever
oh,
seen.
Oh, they're off again, you're just, you know. Yeah.
You're, oh, that's
like
horrible.
When you're driving in your car and you...
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. The person across the way.
The person in the next car is just having their own little moment
having
with their finger in their nose.
Yes.
And you just go, oh my God. And then you catch yourself doing it.
So speak to him. Don't be a snowflake. Speak to him. Talk. Can you imagine the nail hitting you in the face? Vom.
Yeah.
No, it's repulsive, but I mean, it's that kind of thing that somebody in their own oblivious little world doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a stress relief thing, I think. I mean, and you do it when you're absent-minded and so on.
Do it in the comfort of your own bathroom. I wouldn't even do it in the house. We actually got an email from the HSE listening to the conversation. To talk to somebody about codeine addiction, you could call the HSE Drugs and Alcohol Helpline, which is 1-800-459-459, or email helpline@hse.ie. The problem is more common than you think, and the first step is to talk with somebody about it. Right. Our service is confidential and anonymous. So there's an answer to that one. Try and get this one in if I can quickly. My sister-in-law causes quite a lot of tension in our household when she comes to visit. She's quite prickly and can be very moody. She even can be very offensive to my dad, her father-in-law. She cuts him down when he's holding his grandson, correcting how he holds him. It's very irritating, creates a terrible atmosphere. I've been advised to ignore it, but I believe that's very hard to do. But something has to change. It's getting worse and it's going to blow, and then real damage will be done. How can I do this?
This is actually, even though it's couched in all of this language, like the sister-in-law is terrible, this is an interpersonal thing between two people here. I would tread carefully, because you've already been told not to tread at all. So if you've been told to tread carefully by people when you've already kind of raised that issue, that's somebody saying to you, either the problem that you're presenting to me doesn't exist, or I don't want you to pursue it. So,
all right.
I'd move
softly.
Absolutely.
Concur with that, yeah.
That's what I was wondering when she said I'd been advised, or I'd been advised to ignore it. I was wondering who had asked her not to interfere, because say if it was the other half of that sister-in-law, it might be that they know maybe that person is difficult. And there's something to watch here. There's a grandchild, there's a grandfather who clearly loves the child, wants to hold it. And it is not unknown for these situations to blow up and for access to the grandparents to be the first thing to go.
Okay. Yeah.
And therefore, you know, if it's not directly impacting you and your relationship with that child and your sibling, then leave it alone.
Tread softly. We're beaten by the clock, sadly. Susan, thank you very much for coming in. Declan, a pleasure.
Thank you.
As always, 53106 for your text. We'll have more after this.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.